Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor. Holy shit. This is my first. Let me try this again. So,
oh, God, yeah. This will be your first time doing the opener since we came back. Let's see if you have the muscle memory still.
Let me tell you,
it came back to me like nothing. Like, I did it, and it was like, whoa, I'm here.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your idea, your video game idea. Jesus, wow.
Oh, you almost had it, dude. You
wow.
Almost, take another
why is this? Dude, why is my
brain
not processing?
Do you need me to show you how it's done?
Sure, go ahead. Do this.
I can do this shit with my eyes closed.
Here.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA titles.
See, that's where I got hung up on. It's like, we don't want lovely ideas. We want rancid ideas. We want
bad ideas.
Okay,
then why don't you go ahead and show
ideas.
Me your stink on it?
No. We've done the gag of like. No, we've done the gag of too many of doing the intro too many times. We've already done it twice. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea,
and I am your other host, AJ Hart. Blake Rea,
yes,
it finally is here after.
What's here?
After almost two decades, probably 15 years almost of people being like, it's here. You know, they're making this movie one day, right? This movie's going to be made one day, and they finally, after like two decades, have a trailer for it.
I know which game movie you're talking about. You're talking about Borderlands.
I'm talking about Borderlands. They finally have a trailer for the video game movie.
I haven't watched it.
That was made. I also haven't watched it yet. Great news, Blake. We're about to watch it live on the show. Because here's the thing.
No.
This is a game movie that I should be so hyped for. Because like, I love Borderlands.
No. No, like, here's the thing. Here's the thing that people need to start clarifying on is, yes, people say they love Borderlands. No, people love Anthony Birch's Borderlands. People weren't super jazzed about Borderlands 1. Really?
Borderlands 1. Yes, I loved Borderlands 1. Are you kidding me? The music of that game? The characters?
Nobody
TK Baha? My
nobody
boy?
Nobody quotes that game like they do Borderlands 2.
Well, that's
argue,
because there's significantly less quotes in the game. So I jot that down.
Yeah, to me, that's like one of the quintessential things about Borderlands.
No, because Borderlands 1 is such a good vibe. Like, the desolate world, the weird twanginess, the folksy, gun-loving desert.
Different than the second one, though. The second one is like so much more plot heavy, and the
you're right, but it has
bigger.
The same world vibes. You know what I mean? Like, it still has the same music being used in the beginning.
No, I think they feel completely different. Yeah, well, because when you look at Borderlands 1, it is a game about like a desolate, not really lived in world. There are plenty of characters, but the second one, the world actually feels way more lived in. It doesn't feel like an outpost hundreds of light years away from like nearby society. It's like, no, it kind of feels like a lived in planet that has like government and shit like that.
See, that's just it. It's like, I don't agree. I think that both games perfectly capture the idea that Pandora is a world that at one time was incredibly occupied and is now desolate. Mm-hmm. And now like just has weirdos digging up scraps. And it's they capture that energy visually in the first one. I think they capture that energy much better in the second one. And then the Borderlands like story game, the Tales from the Borderlands, does an excellent job like capitalizing on that direction again.
That's a good one. I don't know.
I did not play Tales 2 yet.
You know, speaking of, since we're talking about Borderlands, one of my favorite things I think about every now and again I think this is like right as like in the middle of the pandemic, and you and I are like, you know, we're both going through it. We're both having like just shit going on in our lives and having to make drastic changes and stuff. And for your birthday, I got you Borderlands 3, and then my birthday comes around and you get me Borderlands 3, and neither of us have played it.
Yeah, no, actually, you know what's so funny? I can tell you exactly where that copy is. It is still sealed with the saran wrap in a box, in a garage right now.
It's mine's still sealed, too. I have it a little bit closer. It's underneath my TV, but it is
propping your TV up to keep it level.
Yeah. But no, and to come back to this, this is why I'm so concerned about the Borderlands movie, is because Anthony Birch was not approached. And I am a firm believer that he is the reason so many people fell in love with Borderlands, and so much of its identity, at least to like, when you think Borderlands, you think of characters like Tiny Tina, or you think of like the dialogue, or the sort of like the wacky nature of it.
Jack is an icon. Handsome Jack changed the fucking game of video game bad guys. Yeah. Undoubtedly,
he's a baddie and also a baddie.
Like, he's maybe the one of the first times that I remember, like, the wisecracking bad guy that's running his mouth at you the whole time
is actually incredibly
funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was so happy when he got on comms with me, but I was also so happy to shoot him with my cool guns.
It is, like, and I think that's where the third one, at least from the gameplay I've seen and, like, the reviews I've read about the third one, is they really tried taking that again and doing it a while. But it, like, it hangs on a razor's edge. Like, wisecracking villain and like super dark edgelord both have to walk that same fine line of like, don't go too extreme in one direction.
Can't go too far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're annoying.
Yeah. Oh
my goodness. Well, seemingly 25 years too late, it's finally here, the Borderlands movie trailer. And I gotta say, they know that this game is 20 years late, because you can tell that they cast these characters like 15 goddamn years ago. Because, hey, dude, I mean this in the kindest way. They're all old. Like, they're all like the people and actors that I would have cast in this movie 10, 15 years ago.
Really? I actually think that is one
it's
of
cool,
the...
It's cool, don't get me wrong. But, like, it's just bizarre
that
like, it's a video game movie coming out and they don't have, like, young actors. But on the flip side, name a young actor who doesn't have, like, Instagram face.
Oh, I was going to say Timothy Chalamet, but he's,
he looks like he's been procedurally generated by Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Well, here's the thing, though, that I think we need to think about. I don't think Borderlands... And this is going to sound weird. I don't think it's a young person's story.
It's not for young people.
No, I don't think it is. Like, I think Tales from the Borderlands is a young person's story. But I think, like, Borderlands 1 and 2, we're talking about people that have lived their lives. No, because this plays into the themes
of Borderlands. No,
you're
right. You have something here.
It plays into the themes of Borderlands of, like, this is, like, a world that was past its prime. And you're digging through the scraps of this world to find treasure. And I don't see young people doing that. I see people who have
had background.
Every
one of the Vault Hunters is a character who has already lived a life, right?
Yeah.
Roland and Axton are both characters that, like, I believe they were both part of the Atlas. Like, when Atlas showed up on Pandora, they are both ex-soldiers from that point, I believe, is what the narrative there is.
Yeah, and like,
the
look at Handsome
Jack.
The
Siren is a siren. She's a famous, like... magic person and has already lived a life somewhere that she is currently leaving.
Yes, and look at like the motivations behind Handsome Jack. Like, that's because he lived a whole fucking life before these games.
Yeah, there was a pre-sequel that we got to see where we watched him fall from grace, and mileage will vary on that game. I think it was all right. I think I'm probably due for a replay, but it seemed to hit its mark for me.
I still never got why there were two Handsome Jacks. Because
it's a dupe. He paid somebody to become his lookalike. That way, if he was ever assassinated, they would kill the lookalike instead of him.
Oh, interesting. So you get to kind of play as Handsome Jack, but not really. Interesting. Yep. Interesting. That's clever. I like that. Okay. AJ, are we watching this trailer, or do we want to, like, I don't know, do podcasting? Like, talk about
video
games?
I want to watch this trailer on air.
Okay, let me watch the trailer, Borderlands trailer. How many views does it have now? 9.3 million.
This is the game, or this is the movie of the century 10 years ago.
Oh my god, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying. Jamie Lee Curtis is in this movie. That's crazy.
Also, what's her... I'm forgetting her name, but, like, the really cool lady who was, like, on the ship that got blown up by Star Wars. Kevin Hart, for some reason.
Here's the thing. I think Kevin Hart as Roland for Borderlands is an inspired take 10 years ago before Kevin Hart hit his stride and everything became like a Kevin Hart movie. Yeah. You know how like Adam Sandler, before we had the term Adam Sandler movies, Adam Sandler was just like a general character actor that had like a vibe that he would bring to some of his characters, but they were all distinct characters. You can't watch The Wedding Singer and be like, that's an Adam Sandler movie, TM. Watch 50 First Dates, that's a movie with Adam Sandler in it. It's not an Adam Sandler movie. Uh-huh. This is where I'm at with Kevin Hart. I feel like Kevin Hart as Roland could have been something very interesting before we had the 18 movies of Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson together.
Interesting.
Again, this feels like a movie that was cast 10 years ago. Life went on, and then they doubled back, and they're like, we should probably make this movie. It's been done on paper for like... for 22 billion also, like, years.
Also, the small little cutaways to forget that something. What is that? What is that comedian? They did a smash cut to him. I don't know. But either way, I can't remember his name. Here's something that I'm getting really stuck on. The lady who's playing the siren. I know I just said this is a story Cate Blanchett. I know I just said this is a story for older people. This is going to sound mean, but I think she's too old. I think she's 54 years old.
This is what I'm saying. Everybody in this movie, they cast just like, again, they cast the people that I would have loved to see playing these grown-ups when I played these games as a teenager.
Uh-huh.
The casting here is bizarro world.
Also, again, Jack Black is Cat... what?
Are we ready to watch this trailer? Take it from the top?
Wait, have you not been watching
it? I've
been watching this whole time live reacting. What are you doing?
Oh, I've been staring at the screen waiting.
Okay, go ahead and play it. I've already watched it. I will say, I'm actually kind of blown away with how this looks. It actually looks like...
Did they put Krieg in the roster?
Yeah. I mean, like, think about it. He was one of, like, the... Here's the thing.
The Krieg trailer was the first time that I remember Borderlands showing some teeth and being like, hey, we could tell some pretty interesting and poetic stories here.
Oh, how he's, like, an insane person on the outside, but, like, inward, he's, like... Okay, that's actually... This got a little laugh out of me. God damn it. I don't know. I think it'll be fun. I don't know if it'll be substantial. We will see. I think texturally, though, man, this, like, the graphics in here, like, the VFX is really good. Well, I wonder who did
it. Yeah, no, there's so much, like, physical effects in this movie, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how this is going to fit into, like, the canon of the whole games. I wonder if,
It's probably just going to be a retelling of number two.
Why
is Krieg here? Krieg's a number two character, and so is Tina.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this is huh.
Yeah, so I wonder, maybe this is something that takes place between the two games, or... Also, God, I want Krieg to see the other siren, because they have their whole... Maya, right, is their name?
Yes.
God, that was such a cute little story. Didn't they get together in 3? It's like one of the few good things.
I think it's hinted at in some of the audio logs of 3, but again, Blake, we never played it. Maybe we should double back and play this.
I like their story. I don't like it enough to maybe play 3. Fuck, you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, 3 would be a very fun game to play on the YouTube channel. It's a we could go through that whole game as a cooperative. God, Jamie, Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, I'm just so blown away by this.
Yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis as Tannis, I believe.
Oh, that's a good casting. I actually like that a lot. Because Tannis is kind of, like, awkward and, like, kind of a little bit bizarre and just kind of off-putting.
This movie looks good.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm legitimately surprised. Well... Who? How about this? When it comes out in theaters, Fuck, AJ, you know, that'd actually be, like, really good. Don't quote me on this, audience.
Don't quote you on this.
What if we did, like, that's our first spiritual successor meetup, is, like, to go see the fucking, go see the fucking Borderlands.
I thought you were going to pitch, what if we ripped a copy of Borderlands?
Oh, and put it on our YouTube channel.
Despicably. And then recorded recorded our own Mystery Science Theater watch along.
Oh my god!
And then uploaded that online for everybody to take to the theater.
Only
so
if
everybody could watch this movie with us in theaters.
Oh god, that sounds like the most self-centered bullshit, but I kind of love it actually.
It feels in the spirit of Borderlands.
God, I'm surprised that hasn't kind of, I honestly think you're onto something, though. I feel like that is a medium that will blow up one day of, like, well, because, no, and the reason I think it will blow up is because,
one
like,
day,
virtual
motherfucker,
girlfriends
I
are
just
a thing.
Referenced somebody that did it. Like,
really? Is that, like, no, Mystery Science Theater is, like, you watch the movie, they have the movie playing, and the thing at
oh,
the
they
same
don't
time.
Do like full commentary tracks?
Yeah, you don't need. No, what I'm getting at is you don't need to take a third party thing to an activity you are doing. It's you go to that third party thing and everything is self-contained. Versus what you're pitching, where I love the idea of like, hey, here's your virtual suck boys, the virtual suck boy experience. Of, hey, come watch.
I want to give you the experience of seeing a movie with me, which is the experience of sitting next to me in a movie theater and I lean over and just make dick jokes every like 20 seconds. We're all in the middle of a movie and I just lean over and say, that's what she said.
I love the idea, though, that this is like you make that and you sell it for some exorbitant amount of money, right? And it's literally just like those React channels who react to other people's React content, where it's like they are so busy listening that they're listening to the original media, the reaction to the original media, and in between those little phrases, they are trying to toss in their own little quips. And it's just like, it is just such chaos, or it is incredibly quiet the whole time. And I want that to be the movie-going experience with us. All right, AJ, we got to talk about video games. We got to do a little bit of video gaming.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what we do. And if you're new to the show, welcome. Also, we love to talk about random bullshit for like the first 10 to 15 minutes of every show. But in the body of the show, what we do is we take your wonderful, nasty, disgusting video game ideas from Twitter, also known as X, I guess, or X Premium, if that's
your
jam.
No one calls it X Premium. If you call it X Premium, you have a problem and need to be corrected.
Also, AJ, I have a perfect idea, too. Before the podcast, AJ and I were talking about, like, how stupid it is that Twitter is named X, but, like, the URL is still Twitter. I want the next company that Elon Musk starts, he needs to be, like, X-Stream, so it's X-Stream. And that
well,
could
he's
be, like,
buy
a flamethrower
Twitch,
company.
And that will be that.
Is he really going to try and buy Twitch?
Man, I don't know. He's a billionaire, and he's stupid. He's probably going to try to buy everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Twitch is slowly becoming a porn site, so, like, you know,
Is it?
Well, that's the whole thing that happened, like, the whole blow-up thing about, like, tasteful nudity. And then, like, it was literally people getting donations, and then they have their boobs slightly off camera, and they're clearly not wearing
shirts.
Oh,
right, I heard about this. And then they got donations. VTuber was like, if artistic nudity is allowed, I'm just going to have my VTuber up here titties out, which was just a wild abuse of a privilege.
Well, it also goes way deeper than that, of just, like, here are these people that very clearly are doing, like, suggestive content, and their argument is you can go to Pornhub and you could do streaming, like, that's totally a thing, but that place is, like, completely saturated. A great video on this is by Shoe on Head, one of my favorite, like, political and social commentators. She has like a whole fucking video on this, fantastic. But yeah, no, it's bit by bit, Twitch is They're protecting the ethos, man. They bring in a lot of revenue for the channel, for the website. Here's the issue. It's a fucking kids website. It's they market themselves for 13-year-olds. That's not cool. That's not okay. No porn. No porn there, please.
No porn.
Or just make it a login site. I mean, you can have porn there, but just like it needs to, there needs to be more steps in place for that.
Why would he need to go somewhere else to allow porn? He has Twitter.
Does Twitter allow pornography? I don't actually. Oh wait, what am I talking about? I literally like saw
you literally somebody follow getting, porn accounts.
No,
on
I don't.
Twitter.
No, I do not follow porn accounts. I do that on Instagram. It's much more. It's more tasteful.
Why
there.
You can't see boobies on Instagram?
Yeah, but I don't need to see boobies. I just like Also, I literally was just like looking at a chat earlier from like this one artist, and then like in the comments, there's just somebody getting railed, and I'm like, why is
see
this
that's
here?
What's crazy about X why right is now is here? Like you really can't get like more than like 22 notes or 22 notifications on a post without. Like some sort of bot being like, anyway, here's some hole getting blasted, and it's like, come on, dude, this is a tweet about Borderlands the movie.
I mean, actually, out of all places to post that, that's kind of fitting. That's kind of in line with the Borderlands brand.
The if it had the caption, "This is some hole getting blasted," absolutely. Unfortunately, it isn't that actual caption, and it isn't just like a cool meme. It's just a sex tape. Sorry, an X tape.
Ooh, you're really, really trying to get that going, huh? Really,
I'm pushing to make X tape a new term. Look, if Twitter wants to pivot to video. Uh-huh. And pivot with the word X. They have to accept the branding of X tape.
Jesus Christ. All right. All right. I'm going to give you the first submission. How about that?
All right. Hit me.
Oh, my God. I just lost it. Fuck!
Fool. All right, this one comes sucker. To us. Idiot. Buffoon.
This one comes to us from our Patreon Discord by the lovely fish they them. A game about sturgeons. I don't care about literally anything else. We need more media about sturgeons. They're incredible lake fish, dinosaurs, and I love them dearly. AJ, have you seen a sturgeon? They're fucking maddening looking. They're very weird.
I don't know that I have seen a sturgeon
so
before.
A sturgeon...
I sure I have. Whoa, a sturgeon, this is a weird fish.
They kind of look like catfish a little bit with, like, their whiskers, but they
these
also
little guys
have,
are bumpy as all hell.
Yeah, but they also have, like, they're like bumpy sharks. Like, they're fucking cool looking, and they'll fuck you up. And I think they also taste pretty good.
Why will they hurt you? It's just a fish.
Brother,
why would it go after you?
Brother, they have spikes all over them.
Oh, is that what those are? Those aren't just like little bumps?
No, those are calcified like spikes. Yeah.
Okay, when you say spikes, these don't look like spikes. Like you're like, oh, that's a spike. That is a spike in the way that a pineapple has spikes. Come on, dude. It's a fish, not a fighter jet.
No, dude. No. As they get bigger, like look at some of them. Their spikes get pretty fucking gnarly. Like, I'm looking at this one sturgeon right now, and it's, like, 3 people long. I mean, they're standing shoulder to shoulder, not, like, feet to head, but they're huge. they get fucking huge. Like, looking at, like, a 650-pound one. The reason I chose this submission, one, I play Dredge, and I really, truly want more fish horror media. And I realized after reading the submission, it clicked. It gave me flashbacks to a very specific time in my life where me and my girlfriend, our favorite thing to do was watch the show River Monsters. Do you remember
River Monsters? Hell yeah, I remember River Monsters.
It was like, hey, and for those that don't know River Monsters, it's like the best fucking fishing show around because the whole
it was like
gimmick,
Wet Crocodile Hunter.
It was way more tension filled than Crocodile Hunter, in my opinion. Basically, the gimmick of it was, here's this guy. He hears about like people dying at very select locations around the world connected to rivers. And he's like, all right, there's something spooky in that river. Let me go catch it. And literally it's a cryptid hunting show, but for fish. And it reminded me of the episode where he caught a gigantic fucking sturgeon. And
was the sturgeon responsible for killing people?
No, but they were. There were like some episodes where they say like they saw gigantic fish like coincidentally near people dying, and
sometimes it's just a bad vibe, Sturgeon.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, sometimes he would catch things like, yeah, bad vibe. That's a great name, by the way.
This is the sturgeon that tells the bad future.
Yeah, this sturgeon, bad vibes. Bad vibes on this sturge right here. But I loved that show because the editing of it was so good. The idea of, like, it played into that fear of, like, oh, what's actually in the water? Especially when you're, like, when he's down in, like, South America where, like, all of the water is, like, just really dark and murky. It just, like, adds this level of, like, yeah, you don't know how fucking big anything in there is. So you know, I – go ahead.
We're really lucky that most fish don't like to eat people, because it is frightening how big fish get sometimes.
It's amazing.
And how, like, how much better fish are moving around in the water. For how good fish would be at killing people that are in the water, I feel like there are very few fish that do.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's carnivorous fish. There's, like,
how many carnivorous fish get this big? Like, what I'm saying is, like, are there fish that are as big as sturgeon that want to eat people? There aren't. That's what's crazy.
Squid?
No, because squid isn't a fish. I'm saying that you go into a lake.
What are you talking about? Squid are a fish, aren't they?
They're not. You know what I mean.
Okay, squid are not fish, actually. They're classified as cephalopods. That's right. I knew that.
Also, squids don't fuck around in rivers.
How terrifying an idea is that, actually? Freshwater squid? The idea that you're just... Dude, imagine you're like, you're at Boy Scout camp or you're at summer camp or whatever. You jump in a lake and then you come out and there's a fucking just squid on your leg. Like, holy shit.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know if there's any fish that you should be afraid of.
Okay.
I don't think that any fish.
No, barracuda, fucking marlins are aggressive. There's none that are like that I could take a fucking chomp out of you. Like, yes, sharks have attacked people, but traditionally they are not. They don't fuck with people.
I'm curious about, like, a sturgeon. Like, right, the sturgeon live in waters where people hang out in, apparently, right?
See,
I'm looking at one photo of three people holding the sturgeon. They're just, like, taking a dip, and they're smiling, and they're probably here with a dead fish. You know, something that aminals love to eat. And they're not tripping at all. They're, like, photo op. Like, there's nothing dangerous in that water. Not even the giant human-sized fish is a danger. How lucky are we that no fish want to kill us?
You know what's super funny is, like,
just the closest we have is alligators, which are like fish, but not fish enough that they would want to kill us.
So I found a whole article. So I have 2 points I want to make here. One, I don't think there are a lot of fish that eat people. A lot of the deaths that happened in river monsters came from, like, oh, they were poisoned or they were drowned. Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Well, think about it. Like, a lot of fish's defenses revolve around
being
poisoned.
Oh, poisoned by the fish. I was like, what the fuck do you mean that it's like a murder mystery? And they're like, yeah, somebody poisoned their ex-husband
and
blamed it on the fish.
That's our fucking game, by the way. It's like, who murdered? It's a murder mystery, but it's like, it's a murder mystery fishing game. Sounds fucking fabulous, actually. And each one is like, to interview a potential murderer, you have to catch them or you have to, like, fish for them. I fucking love that idea.
A murder has taken place in a lake and you have a supernatural ability to talk to fish.
Yes.
You must fish for them. And then once you've pulled them up, you are able to interrogate them, get their testimony, and find out what truths lay bare.
Here's the gimmick, though. Here's my little thing I want to do is, all of these fish are capable of killing humans or being poisonous, but they killed the person through, like, very human means. Like, they got a gun. They staged his murder. Some, you know, just very, like, things that it's like, oh, why? Why didn't the angler fish just just chew on his face? Well, it'd be too fucking obvious.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, this is very fun. I'm very into this.
This is also an excellent response to something I'm experiencing in video games currently. I'm playing through Ace Attorney currently, right now.
Oh, right on.
The first one.
No, no shit. Is this the same crew you did Danganronpa with?
No, actually, this is one that I'm playing through with my partner currently.
Aw, cute.
Yeah.
Dude, Phoenix Wright games.
Here's
are
my problem
wonderful.
With Phoenix Wright number one, and I hope that this changes. Can I keep it real with you?
Mm-hmm.
the trial rules so much better than all of the visual novel stuff.
You're so wrong, and you need to feel ashamed of that statement. You are so wrong.
I just feel so unengaged through a lot of the visual novel stuff. I'm just kind of thumbing through, reading along. Sometimes I'm having fun with it, right? I'm reading it out loud with my partner.
Clearly but, not. Like, if you're saying like if it's like, not as good as the trial parts.
The trial part rules so much more. Getting to play the little puzzles, trying to figure out where they're lying, finding out where to push them on, thinking back on like, well, that can't be true because I saw two dinner plates at the second location. So what the fuck? Who ate there, buddy? Like, that what, all rules.
Wait, what trial are you on?
I'm on the trial with the actor. The fourth case in the first game, I believe.
Oh, the one with the samurai.
Yeah, Steel Samurai.
Okay, that one wasn't my favorite trial. That one kind of was kind of boring. I actually
see the trial rules, but walking around and doing like being like, "All right, go to gate two. Now go to gate one. Now go to gate two. Now go to gate one. Now go to gate two. Now go to gate one." That all sucks. If you could replace all of that part of a murder mystery game, all of the like walking back and forth,
you get to hang out with Gumshoe. You get to hang out with Maya and hear her fun little quips. I've hung out with
Gumshoe like twice. See, Maya, I do like hanging out with.
Maya's super adorable.
But let's just replace all of that. Go here. Go there. Go here. Go there. Go here. Go there. With fishing mini game.
I think this plays into you're pitching for our game. Okay. So there is like an accusation thing of like Danganronpa or Ace Attorney. There is like an actual trial where you need to go over all of the details and walk through the murder. And
what you're doing is like you go in
that's
and
so
you,
fucking
you fish
funny
up,
to
you
me.
You fish up a fish and you're like, "Got excellent. I got one of the witnesses." And mm-hmm. you bring them in and then you interrogate them and you interrogate mm-hmm. them. And then once they like let something go that you could use as evidence, you then get what we'll refer to as bait. And mm-hmm. so the bait becomes like a little like
it opens dialogue paths.
Danganronpa calls it bullets. Ace Attorney also always it's the evidence, but like you hook somebody, you bring it in, you get new bait, and then you get to go to over to your little tackle box, and then you get to decide what bait you want to put onto your hook mm-hmm. to then cast out into the fishing game again, and then you're fishing and you're fishing and you're fishing.
Holy shit. And like, okay, here's the thing that we, there's, God, I'm actually really fucking stoked about this game. I would play the shit out of this game. Two things. One, I want, this is going to be so fucked up, but because every time, the murderer is fish, right?
Always, yes.
In our world, in our game, everybody who's found guilty, we get like that like montage sequence that we do in like Danganronpa, like anytime anybody's found to be a murderer, we get like that dramatic like graphic of like them like being shot with 100 bazillion cannons and having a bunch of baseballs thrown at them, that kind of stuff. But it always ends uh-huh. with you cooking a fish dinner. So it's like, hey, when the sturgeon gets found to be guilty, guess what? We have this lovely sturgeon dinner, and it's very dark and it's very ominous. Okay, I really, really love this video game idea. There's two things I want to talk about before we go on to our next idea. One, I want at the end of every trial to end with the guilty verdict, the fish that is guilty being turned into a lovely fish dinner, and that is what our lovely little our player character gets to eat at the end of every trial, because what every murder mystery game needs, it needs a really good protagonist. Who is our detective from Knives Out? Who is our Hercule Poirot from all of the Hercule Poirot mysteries by Agatha Christie? Who is our Psyched? I forget who the guy's names are in Psyched.
A lot of detectives though.
I love the genre is just super fun. There is something, and this is fascinating, is like everybody's like the phenomenon of like our obsession with serial killers and murder mystery media is like, is it having a negative effect on us?
But we're focusing on the wrong people. You think we should be focusing on the people who solve those crimes?
No. What I'm saying is just like there is a natural inclination among every generation to be fascinated by murder mystery. There is just something about it that tickles at our brains of like, why? And I think it's like, why? What? Out of all of the things, all the crimes to commit in the world, or all the potential crimes to commit, don't commit crime, but out of all the potential crimes, you know, the taking of a fellow person's life, like, that just rings in a very poignant, very strong, resonant way in everybody. So I think that's why it's created such an obsession with murder mystery. And I'm no different. I love murder mystery. Love BuzzFeed Unsolved. Love their new show, Watcher, where they discuss.
Can our main character just be Jeremy Wade?
Who's Jeremy Wade?
Who's Jeremy Wade? Jeremy Wade is the host of Rigver Monsters, fake fan.
Oh, that's right. I just remember him as like, Mother, hold on.
This dude's whole job is like getting in like waist deep in scary monster water, and his name is Wade.
Oh, fuck. He's waiting and waiting.
Yeah,
waiting.
Exactly.
Wade is waiting. Fuck, that's such a that's like porn actor name levels of
on the
sniping.
Nose.
Yeah, right? Hi, I'm
this has to be a performer name, right?
I don't know. Jeremy Wade real name.
Cuz he's just waiting in water.
No, Jeremy John Wade. Yeah, and he's waiting. Holy shit. Wow, he's
anyway, can we just use him as our main character?
And he's like, hey, River Monsters isn't doing too hot in the ratings anymore. We need to turn into a murder mystery
show. We need to be solving actual murders now. Yes. Jeremy Wade has gotten the ability to talk to fish, and now he's solving real murders.
Oh, my God. I love that. Love that.
Hey, before I forget the name of this, because I did think of a name, do you want to hear me out?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sturgeon for a hurtin'.
It's not a fighting game, though.
No, but like you're trying to get a sturgeon to find out who did the hurtin'.
Would it be River Monsters?
Sturgeon for a hurtin'.
Yeah, would that be the name of it? Okay. I like this because now we have like an identifiable character.
You know what? Actually, let me flip it. I want it to be Sturgeon for a Hurtin', then the two dots, River Monsters.
Oh.
I want River Monsters to be the subtitle of this game, and then we can come up with other subtitles for your future games, because if it's a detective game, obviously we're going to get like three good sequels and then a spin-off for the PSP somewhere along the line that nobody
where
plays.
you actually get to play the Jeremy Wade takes a sturgeon under his wing to teach him the ropes of catching fish and solving murders, and that's the other character we follow in the follow-up games.
Exactly.
All right, let's put a pin in this. I have very strong feelings about that being Nug material, but I want to hear what have you brought to the table? What have our other submitters brought to the table?
This comes from Too Many Bees, and then there was Fun, a party game about being the last person standing via murder.
Oh, okay. We have like a little bit of a oh no. This is a game that should not be made, but like the idea is here's my immediate thought on this. You are at a party. It's kind of like a sandbox game. You have a bunch of meters that you need to be managing while also figuring out how to kill everybody at the party, but not get caught. So your drunkenness level needs to go up throughout the party. So you need to be doing keg stands. You need to be playing. There's constantly a game of wizard staff going on that you need to be partaking in. I don't know if I told you this, but okay. So a few months ago, I went up to San Francisco to visit my dear friend AJ and all my other friends up there.
That's me. We had one of the coolest days ever.
And it was super fun. It was like we just sat around. And we played this game called Wizard Staff. And for those that don't know Wizard Staff, it's like a beer drinking game where you every can you drink, you have to duct tape to the previous can until you have a gigantic staff. And whoever has the biggest staff gets to decide rules that all the drinkers need to follow anytime they finish a beer. There's more rules, but that's just the general gist of it.
Well, that's the first rule. And then from there, again, like once the wisest wizard has established a rule, that rule must be followed for the rest of the party. And let me tell you, once I've pulled ahead, I found ways to min-max that shit. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, obviously the wisest wizard doesn't need to go get his own beer, which meant that like the downtime downtime between beers for me, the wisest wizard, became so small because as soon as I was done, boom, I had people that had to get me a beer, and that just kind of stacked up.
So that was like,
I min-maxed fucking wisest wizard.
I did not catch up with AJ. All I'm going to say is AJ's staff by the end of the day went from floor to ceiling, and I am not even exaggerating. God, that was so impressive.
And that was only the first half of the day.
It shouldn't be impressive, but it is. But the story I'm getting at is I ended up taking a picture of me at the end, like the following morning, just like with the gnarliest hangover, and I'm cuddling a bottle of Fiji water. And like I post it to my Instagram story, and my boss sees it and apparently shows it to my coworkers. And I get in the following day after hanging out with you and my buddy at work. He's like, hey, are you okay? Like, you look like you got absolutely destroyed. And I'm like, oh yeah, I played Wizard Staff. So here I am telling of an older coworker of mine who's never drank, doesn't drink at all, what the fuck a Wizard Staff is.
Dude,
and I realized
there's nothing more humbling in the universe than trying to explain one of the dirtbag things that you do to a coworker. Like, you have to be like, yeah, so butt chugging is kind of like this thing where
yeah, anything but clothes party is like you show up and like you have to like make your whole Sparta outfit out of caution tape. And being like super conservative and from Texas.
So a bang bang is when you, it's not as bad as you think. This one's just when we eat two meals in a row.
I love it. I love it. It was, I laughed so hard and it kind of just reminded me of that. But coming back to this game, the idea that you are getting drunker and trying to do murders is like, it just becomes progressively harder and harder. So it's like, guess what? Like, after you get to a certain drunk level, you're not able to use your phone anymore. So you can't call in and get new supplies. You can't
find motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
You're just describing real life. You're describing how alcohol works.
When I go to parties and aim to kill my friends, yes, I'm talking about real life.
No,
yes.
I mean, describing how alcohol just makes you worse at things. Can I pitch you on this idea? And then there was fun, a party game about being the last person standing, is in fact a murder mystery game. See, I've had a lot of house parties in my day, and I've had a lot of people that are a little bit overconfident with like their house party being like, oh, and we'll do a murder mystery thing. And then you show up, and everybody shows up there at like 6 o'clock, and then it's not until 9:30 that somebody busts out the box for the murder mystery thing. You're like, no, you don't understand. You need to have these rules at the beginning of the party. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that because I never opened this box before. And it's like, what do you mean you never opened this box before a party where you were going to host with these rules?
Yeah, you need to send everybody their identity ahead of time.
Everyone needs their identity ahead of time. Everyone needs to know what to dress like. Everybody needs to have memorized their life. What do you mean you're just now opening this box at 10:30 p.m. on our party night?
And everybody's already buzzed and nobody wants to read instructions. It's like busting out a board game hour three into a party. It's like nobody's going to fucking play that. Don't do
that.
Stop it.
And then there was fun. What if this is a game on how to close your party? This is a party drinking game where you slowly throughout the game are kicking people out of the party every time they lose a game.
Oh.
And then there was fun is the idea of, you're right, Blake, there is a mini game where everyone's going to do keg stands. Whoever loses the keg stand has to leave the party.
Hey, I actually love this. I would actually do this in real life. Party. This sounds super fun. Like the idea of like, you need to party harder It's like, hey, you've been voted off the island, basically. It's like, hey, you yes. lost. Oh, you know, it'd be super the
contest,
fun. But no, get, what if so it's team-based?
The way it works is everybody has to buy in. Everybody has to pay in for their amount of money, which is, of course, the amount of money that it would take to call the Uber to send them home.
Yes, yes. Oh, this my God. And there's a little, like a but there's a little rules. Extra money left over that is the prize money for the game show. Or
exactly.
So it's like you pay $30. Okay, you have $15 for your Uber, and then $15 goes towards the pot, the fishbowl, or whatever. And, and whoever's left standing gets to keep the fishbowl full of money. Dude.
Exactly.
AJ, let's fucking do this in real life. I would adore to do this, to be like, okay, how best last party you're standing. But here's the thing though. I want it to be like there's teams. So there's like this whole like us versus them mentality.
A big brother like energy to it.
When a team loses, they then need to do like who's getting voted off the island. Because like one of my because like if we're making games that should be made, what sucks worse than when you are asked to leave a party? Not when you lose and are told, hey, you lost, you need to leave. It's like, no, we decided you're the weakest link and you need to go home. So like, AJ, you got to get drunk, but you can't get too drunk. Or actually, let's put it in better terms. Blake, you were going to this party to celebrate. Don't get too drunk and become a problem. Drunk. Don't,
because, like, of course, there's, like, a couple
puke
ground
on a
rules,
sidewalk.
Right? If you puke, first things first, if you puke, ground rule number one, you're getting sent home.
Oh,
two,
no.
If you get caught without a drink in your hand, you're getting sent home.
No, that one's, no, you need to, I think that one's a little bit too, you get, like, a warning. Like, you get a warning, okay. Or you have to, like, do some sort of, like, challenge right then and there, and anybody can call you on it. It's like Uno, where it's like if you don't call out Uno, somebody else can react to it, and then you have to draw more cards. So it'll
okay,
be like,
wait, I have an excellent idea. I have an excellent.
Go for it, hit me, dude. I actually love another great another
fucking
banger.
In this game is I want to incentivize the idea that you should be drinking water regularly between rounds, and so in order to do that, I want to institute the idea that at any time somebody could call on you, and you have to chug your cup entirely.
Oh.
And if you're drinking water, that's totally fine. But if you were drinking beer, then you have to chug an entire beer right then when you're called. And I don't know how to incentivize this water check. Maybe that's exactly what it is. Each team can call out a water check.
I think, no, what you do is like, how about this? At the top of every hour, there is a game that needs to be played by both of the teams. And then the losing team has to send somebody home. And that could be like, hey, this person's super drunk and we lost, let's send them home. But before the game of every hour, you need to do, you bring out somebody's elected the water boy and they need to go and pour a cup of water for everybody. And like, maybe it was like, hey, from the losing, that's it. It's like, you know, like Hell's Kitchen, whoever loses, they have to like do the dishes or whatever. The last team to lose needs to make water, pour water for the other team and themselves. So it instigates like this sort
so
of like, haha.
The team that is winning gets to drink water and the team that is losing does not?
No. Everybody should be drinking water. I don't want people to die, right? But it's like they have to be the servers to the other team. They're like,
okay.
So like before, hey, I'm the team that won, you're the team that lost. And I would go about it like this. Oh, team AJ, I another game is about to happen, but I need water before then. Serve up. So your team would need to like serve my whole team water and then also drink water themselves before the game. So there's this level of like, I got you to do my dirty work. Like how when you got us to get you beers during Wizard Staff, there's that level of
like. Just a level of like BM.
Yeah, just being an asshole. I like it. Hey, I would do the shit out of this. It would sting so bad.
We need
to
construct a bunch of different
home.
Party games, right? And then, like, of course, like at a certain point, it starts becoming free for all type games. Like at a certain point, once
the
you're
teams
down to like
dissolve.
Seven, once you're down to six players, like you're gonna play Rage Cage, and whoever loses Rage Cage has to drink the bad cup and then also go home.
Mm-hmm. could this be just another thing? Is like, this is a party with like a max amount of occupancy. So like, this is a party.
Well, here's my pitch.
Okay, go for it.
What if this is not a game with a maximum occupancy? It's just a game that is expected to be busted out when you start to feel like, the party's winding down and people are going to start leaving. Get them all out. Get them all out.
No. I don't like that, because here's the thing is everybody will be kind of ready to leave as it is. Imagine being this is a party where only 12 people can attend, and it starts as two teams of six. Every hour, somebody has to go home, and that's the game. Imagine the fucking devastation to be our one person that gets sent home. And you know, like, 11 more hours, your closest friends and homies are partying it up, having a grand fucking time, and you're the one that got sent home first. Oh, that would sting. That would sting. Oh, that'd be so bad. But I would, like, it would be so fucking worth it and funny, though. And then, like, you could do a fun thing, like, beforehand where you all, like, hey, we assign teams, you're there's team A, team B, you get to design your own shirt that your team brings to the event. So it's like, I would design some, like, Legend of the Hidden Monkey Temple thing with my team, but you guys can be like, no, we want to do a Barbie theme. That's our theme for this party. And then you guys design these beautiful, like, pink glam glitter bomb shirts. There's just this element.
My concern about the shirt idea is, like, I love this as something that somebody could bring to the table, but I want to make this like a packageable box that we can sell.
No, I think there needs to be a level. You can do a package, but you need to. People fucking love crafting, man. So you could potentially turn this.
People love crafting. I'm always saying this. I know, Blake.
No, bitch, you and your partner do a fucking crafting night every Tuesday. Don't give me that.
Like, it's every Wednesday.
It's every... Okay, it's, my point stands. But you could theoretically do two parties out of this, right? It's like, hey, next weekend we're doing, like, what's the name of the game again? The name of the submission?
And then there was fun.
And then, hey, we're doing, and then there was fun next weekend, but this weekend we're all just going to hang out, do some drinking, and we're all going to build our team shirts. So it's like, you can have fun, talk about, like, some of the games, some of the strategies you're going to do ahead of time, talk about it. Like, this reminds me of, like, when I went out to Palmdale or Palm Springs and I crashed your guys' the pool party concert thing you guys went to.
Oh yeah, when you joined us for one night for Splash House. Speaking of which, are you going to Splash House this year? Tickets are on sale.
I don't know if I can afford it. It's like $400, bro.
is an expensive trip. I'm not going to lie to you.
And I might need to pay that to repair my hard drive. So, like, I got other things. But the cool thing they do at Splash House is, like, every balcony in the apartments or the hotels where they host this, everybody gets to build out their own custom sign for their room and their theme or whatever.
Yeah, there's a little balcony contest.
So, like, imagine, like, each team builds their own banner that they have to, like, carry with them to the party and being like, hey, this is our team, this is our values, this is what we do.
This is exploded into such a big thing to you. Is this a game show in your brain, or is this something that people are doing for fun?
This is something people are doing for fun. I picture the same level of investment of when people, like, get their friends together and they all give a PowerPoint presentation. There is a level of, like, pre-planning and a level of effort there that is not, like, on normal party things of, like, oh, yeah, just bring a Coke and we'll hang out. It's like, no, bring a fucking PowerPoint about how the tectonic plates are shifting underneath you and how that excites the shit out of you. And you're just passionate to talk about it. Or talk about how mycelia networks can carry information or something. I don't know. I could see people being extremely passionate about this, and I am extremely passionate about this.
You know what I'm extremely passionate about?
What?
Ending this fucking episode.
Oh, you want to end the episode? You want to hang out? You and I don't hang out outside this show. So, like, you know, like, I take that very personally. Are you sure? Are you ready to?
Yeah,
end the podcast?
No, I'm pretty passionate about closing the show up, I think. Oh, we just need to decide on which one our nug is, and then maybe crack like two. I think I've got like two, maybe three more jokes in me, and then
okay,
I'm wrapping it all up.
Save for patch notes. All right. What game do you feel like? What I think the River Monster one is fun, and it's a very unique idea, but I actually love the idea of us making a physical piece of media that people can, like a physical
creating a box kit for like a drinking game.
Here's the thing, AJ, you and I can just fucking write this and do it as a PDF. Like this is something you and I can fucking
make so easily, and
I'm kind of tempted. How fun would it be to just do an episode where we talk about
we actually built out the rules and intricacies,
like what are the game, like,
and then there was fun, a drinking party
audience
game?
Audience, if you want to see that, where we do just like a special one-off for fucking whatever episode, and you can like hear about how AJ and I would plan a party, I would actually be so down, because you and I can then release that as like a PDF or something, as like an actual like packageable thing. I think the
most difficult part would be coming up with original party games, right? Like, I wouldn't want this to be like a collection of party games that people already know, because I think that they should be able to introduce their own. I think the difficult part would be trying to come up with new, original, and then there was fun party games.
I think there is so much room for us to do that. Like, something that immediately comes to mind is like, you draw, there's like, maybe there aren't 12 games, we just do like, it's maybe there's like 24 or something like that, so that way it's like different every single time, and you randomly draw, and here's my, there could be like, maybe there are some games that don't even have, that don't use all of your team. So it's like, hey, elect this person with X quality to do this one activity. So like, elect the drunkest person to play a speed game of Commander Magic the Gathering, and whatever team loses.
That's good.
You know, stuff
like
that.
What I also love about this is, like, if we're selling it in a box, this means that we can introduce our own props, right? Like, we can give them one big double-sided cup and be like, all right, here's the goal of this.
Yeah, yeah. There's you can do, like, little arts and crafts things, or, like, envelopes of, like, don't open until, like, the last segment.
We could develop our own props for the game.
Oh my god, how fun would it be where you do, you know, like one of my favorite things they do in like previous or on game shows like this is where they call in and call back contestants that lost. So it's like at hour six, when all of the when you're down to the last six people, call back everybody who got voted off the island or voted off of the party island to be the judges of the six final games. And they get to come back and party and drink. Well, you know, like bring them back. Cause like, then you could be like, they only get one call. If they don't pick up on the first call, they don't get invited back to the party.
Yeah. No,
yes.
I love that.
So theoretically it's like, okay, guy who got voted off first hour, it's like, no, I decided to go to the fucking zoo. Like I'm not coming back to this party.
I got cut loose at 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. I went to the club. Like, I'm not coming back to your house.
But then there might be one person. But then that adds like another gimmick to it, where it's like only one person showed up. So this one person who you might have screwed over in a previous round is now the judge, is the singular judge for the rest of the games going forward.
Ooh, I love this. Yes. Yes.
Yes! Oh my, dude, okay, this is our nug. I think we're like way more like into this, right? I think we're on the same page,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I love this. I'm already naming the file. Boom. And then there was fun. Blake, that's a game.
That's a fucking game. Thank you, everybody who submitted. If you want to submit some more, send us an email. Contact us on Totally Not the Porn website X. Join our Discord. Check out our Reddit. All those other good things. AJ, are you ready for patch notes?
I'm ready to go to Patch Notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. Blake and I have one mission for you each, should you choose to accept this mission.
Each?
And I imagine you will. The whole purpose of doing a podcast is so that you will listen to us for 1 hour a week and then do whatever we request, because we've Pavloved you into thinking all of our ideas are super good and cool. Here's your first mission. What's your request? Say something about us on the internet. I need you to leave us a review on Spotify, on iTunes, on wherever you listen to your podcast. Just go ahead and leave a review. Hell, it doesn't even need to be a review. You could just tap the number 5 a bunch. That'd be fine. Just do that for me, AJ Hart.
Another thing that would be super appreciated is sharing the podcast with a friend. You got a homie that loves video games? You got a homie that loves podcasts? Well, guess what? We got both of those.
You have a homie that hates video games and hates podcasts? Share it to them, too.
I guess we fall into that category, too. Until then, we will catch you guys next week. We hope you had a good time.
As always, the intro and outro to our show is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I have been one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.